everyone. Welcome back to Indu Talks. My name is Tamara Dimashki, and I'm the host for this year's, you know, mandate for the podcast. With me, I have a very special guest, and I'm going to let her introduce herself.
Hi, everyone. My name is Lea. I'm actually a McGill student.
Don't say that.
Okay.
You
did not hear that.
No one heard that.
But I mean, I don't know, what am I supposed to say? I'm majoring.
You can just, you know, tell us which, I mean, usually people will just give their major and what year they're in.
I'm in my final year. And I'm majoring in organizational behavior because I want to be doing human resources. I'm really passionate about that. Mm-hmm. So I feel very out of place in a industrial engineering podcast.
Well,
but
to be fair, it's not exactly an industrial engineering podcast. It's more so a podcast where we talk about everything and anything.
Yeah.
So today, the topic is going to be work-life balance, because I've always felt like Lea was always good at that. And, like, she always works on that. So I felt like she was the perfect person to have.
Wow. I don't know why you think that. But sure. I cry myself to sleep every night. No.
That's so normal.
I'm joking.
Everyone does that. So, I was thinking, since, you know, midterms are coming up, and I'm thinking by the time this is going to get released that we're probably going to be smack in the middle of midterms.
So no one's going to listen to this.
I mean, I just feel like the negative energy right now needs to go.
I'm joking.
So my first question for you is, how do you manage when you have, like, you know, a lot of things piling up and you're really stressed out? How do you cope?
That's a broad question a bit. Like, okay, yeah. First of all, this is like a boring answer, but I am an organized person and I organize. Like, I think that's how I cope. I organize my stuff.
I do the same.
But I mean, that's why I'm saying it's a broad question. Like, do you mean cope like anxiety levels, or I feel like a therapist right now, or like, what do I do? Like, I organize. I organize.
Yeah, so I mean, I would guess anxiety level. How do you also,
well,
but like, what's your, you know, when you're feeling stressed out, what's your first thought that will come? Not your first thought, because that's going to not be great, but
so, you know what?
I don't want to do this anymore. No, I'm dropping out.
No. Okay. So I guess I think the way I would rephrase this is, what my advice would be is, sometimes what I do, my first thing I do when I feel stressed out is, maybe not what's the right thing to do, but I go out.
I disagree, because,
but I mean, so I disagree, and I'm like, I see how it's a good thing and I see how it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you know, you could study and you could get yourself on track, then
exactly.
No,
I was about
do that.
To speak in French.
Yeah.
A lot of stuttering today. I was gonna say, like, I feel like as long as it doesn't impact your work, that it's a good thing.
Yes.
You know?
So exactly. So I think that you have to, if you're feeling stressed about an exam, you have a bunch of exams, you just have to look at everything you have and tell yourself, like, okay, can I do something about it? You know, like, I can organize myself. Okay, today I'm going to do this. Today I'm going to do that. But also make sure to not overwork yourself.
Exactly.
Because then you're going to get a bad grade anyways. I think that when I meant by going out, I mean, like, I think it's important that you study, you know, for, I don't know how many, for, you know, during
the day. As long
as
you need to,
or whenever you're, also, some people are more productive at night. Some people are more productive in the morning. You have to figure out when you're more productive. So
That's true. You're
more productive at night, then you know what? Grab a coffee outside, like, walk around, see some friends during the day, and then grind at night. but that's what I mean. I think I mean that there has to be a balance of both.
Wait.
Yes.
Do you want to tell us about your 888,
the
new motto? Because when I asked you here for this episode, I was really excited. I really wanted you to tell us.
Yes.
It was so funny when you brought it up the first time, because you were so excited. It was cute funny.
Yeah. I was thinking of that as I was talking. So I was watching a TEDx speaker for a class, whatever, it doesn't matter. And he was saying that a philosopher, I don't know who said, that you should have 8 hours of sleep, 8 hours of work, and 8 hours of recreational activity. And when I heard that, I was kind of surprised because, I mean, I worked during the summer. And, okay, yes, you get 8 hours of sleep or less, knowing me. But you should get 8 hours of sleep. You go to work for 8 hours. And I'm like, there's no way I actually have 8 hours of my day to do whatever I want. I'm so sorry. There's no way. So I was surprised. And I think what I'm trying to say here is that when your excuse, I don't have time, I hate it when people used to tell me that.
Oh, yeah.
But you do have time. It's like, you know, just have to, like, use your time wisely. Like, put your phone on in the other room.
Yeah.
Honestly, I hated that as well, especially my first year, but it does work. Like, if you know what distracts you, get to know what distracts you, self-awareness, all that stuff. Get to know what you get distracted by, and make sure that when you're studying, these distractions aren't near you.
Yeah, I feel like the, you know, I don't have time excuse is very, like, you know, I can't find the word right now, but it's kind of like, is it that you don't have time or that you don't want to make time, which is perfectly fine, you know, everyone has their own priorities, but it's just, I felt that frustration.
Yes, and you know what, you're not going to be productive every day.
Exactly.
You're not going to use your time wisely every day. I'm saying, oh my God, like, no, you know, but no, I will scroll my day through TikTok.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I feel like everyone needs, you know, it would be a perfect world if you could always, like, study every day, be super productive, and get everything done. But, you know, when you're not a machine and you're a human being, like we all are, mm-hmm. You can't do that. And you're going to have days where it's just not going to work, you know? And
yes.
I remember when I was in high school, I had my physics teacher. He was really useless, but mm-hmm. It's okay. And the one useful thing he actually did tell us was when we were studying for our final exams, he would say, guys, you need to schedule days mm-hmm. where you don't work, because you're going to have days where you're not going to be productive and you're going to need to catch up that work, or you need rest days, you know? So he's like, make sure to have a few empty days so that you don't, you know, overwork yourself.
Actually, yes, I actually do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, in my schedules, I always make sure I schedule as if my exam is a day or two earlier.
Yeah.
So that I have basically two extra days.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's, I do that. And actually, in all my interview... Okay, so I'm fully going to tell everyone.
Giving secrets?
I am giving secrets.
Guys, this is the HR Leia coming in hot.
This
okay?
has impressed a lot of my interviewers. And so when they ask how I organize my day or some similar question, I always tell them, okay, like, I prioritize by importance, urgency, whatever. But I always say, I always leave a bit of, because it's true, I actually do this, but I always leave a bit of wiggle room in case mm-hmm. a task takes me longer than expected, or if, I don't actually say if I wasn't as productive, but you'll know now that it's because sometimes I'm just not as productive. And it's true. I think that shows that you will get your work done on time.
Yeah, and I feel like there's a lot of shame around not being able to be productive all the time, which I think is stupid. Because
I
think it makes you feel bad for needing to take a break. Like, it's one thing if you're never doing anything,
mm-hmm.
but it's another thing when you are someone who works and you have days where you're like, no, I can't do this today. I can barely get out of bed because of how exhausted I am. And I feel like all this new, you know, this new trend in a way that you find on social media, which is like, be that person, wake up at 5, go for a run. Like, no, it's great if that works for you, but that might not work for everyone. And you have days where you just want to, you know, die in bed and do absolutely nothing. And that's perfectly fine.
And I agree. And you know what? I've had a mentor once tell me mm-hmm. that if you want to take the day to just do whatever you want, do that. But you take the day. The next day,
you get up and you do your thing.
You do your work. You can't take two, you can't extend that one day to 2 days. But just if you set yourself limits, like, okay, you know what? Today I chose that I'm not going to work. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go out. That is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And honestly, I would encourage you to take a break and go out. But the next day, you tell yourself and you actually end up going back to work. And finishing your work.
Honestly, that's something my mom would tell me when I was like growing up and when I was still living at home. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, you can't do it today. That's perfectly fine. Tomorrow, you do it. You know, you get up, you do your thing.
Exactly.
And I used to say like, okay, on the weekends, what I'll do is at like 5 p.m., I'll stop working. No matter where I'm at, like I'll work mm-hmm. all day until 5. Then at that point, I'll stop.
Okay, interesting. Because yeah. I have trouble stopping when I haven't finished my task, which is also a bad habit. Mm-hmm. But what actually helps me is that if I plan, I procrastinate a lot, I'm not going to lie. Okay. But if I plan, usually what I do during like midterm seasons is I plan things at night with friends. So I schedule something like, okay, at 7 we're going for dinner or at 9 we're going for drinks, whatever. And that helps me because I force myself somehow, or like I'm so much more productive to make sure I finish my task in that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually helps because I go out, I'm able to breathe and not just work all day. Yeah. I actually finish the work. It's just like a win-win situation for me. But you have to see what works for you.
Exactly.
As well.
I was going to say that's really smart because it probably gives you an incentive to like finish everything.
Exactly.
It motivates you. It's like, okay, I have this fun thing planned for the end of the day. I can go do that as soon as I'm done. But I'm not going to be able to enjoy myself if I don't actually finish it.
Exactly.
You know? So I better finish it.
That but if you don't finish it also, don't...
That's okay.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
Completely okay. Don't feel bad. Don't... Not, yeah. Good clarification.
Yes, exactly.
Don't feel bad. It's so fine. Okay. We've all been there.
Exactly. And also, something I want to mention, because when you asked me to do this podcast, that's the first thing I thought of. When said that, I don't know, you thought I was a good person for this podcast.
You can say perfect person. You can say it. Say it.
I didn't say it. You did. But what I first thought of was that my first year, I was working all day, all night. Mm. And I got really bad grades. Like I would either fail or just pass. But I would work. That's probably when I worked the most. And then I realized the less I worked, this might be counterintuitive. It's counterintuitive where the less I worked, the better I did. But that's just because I was able to take breaks. I didn't overwork myself.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. You just stopped overworking. My first semester of engineering, actually, that's what happened.
Yeah.
I spent... It was also during COVID. So it was really... All I did was study. All I did. And, you know, I was studying also, like, very late at night because we had... I wasn't here. And the time mm-hmm. difference was huge and ridiculous. So I would stay up really late for classes. I didn't have a very normal sleeping schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And I did so bad that first semester. So, so bad. And like I went to my mom. I was crying. I'm like, I don't know what I just did. I don't know why I switched into that. It's not for me. But I kept going. And my second semester, we came back to Montreal. And I actually had a life. You know,
wow,
surprising, I know. And I ended up doing so much better, you know.
Exactly.
And it was like actually really, you know, I was really happy with my results. I was proud and I was like,
exactly.
Wow, turns out, you know, you don't have to spend all your time working. And that's actually what hurt the most. I think it was, I remember saying this to my mom. I was like, all I did this semester was study, and and somehow that still wasn't enough. And like
exactly.
I spent all my time on this and it didn't work. And I told you that too as well, I think. And don't do what we did.
Exactly.
Be smarter.
My first year, I spent my whole, my first semester, I spent it studying.
Yeah.
And then guess what? In winter, when I was ready to like, okay, you know what? I should go out more. COVID hits. So I basically
awful, yeah.
lost most of my university years. I'm catching up now. Going out now.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I think that every first year student is going to do the same
yeah.
mistake. Or you're going to be the opposite, where you think you have nothing to do and then you do nothing and you get bad grades. But you know what? It'll bring you back to that balance.
Yeah, it's all, also it's part of it. I think it's part of university where you know, you come out of high school and it's university is so much different. And you know, people give you their advice, people give you their opinions. But at the end of the day, it doesn't, like, it's not that it doesn't matter, but you have to see it for yourself in a way. Because I remember when I came out of high school and people would say, like, oh, it's hard or whatever. I was like, no, university is going to be easy.
I know.
I'm gonna be doing something I like. It's going to be so easy. Spoiler alert, it wasn't.
It's not easy.
Sometimes you wonder why you even did this. But
however, I have to say that, you know, even though it's not easy, that doesn't mean that you still have more flexibility to do things, like to go out, to to go out and to choose to live experiences that you might not be able to do once you get older.
Yeah.
Once you have a 9-to-5 job where you can't take off that many times, or you potentially, I don't know, have kids and you can't do anything. So I do think that you should take the opportunity to live these experiences now.
Of course. And there's a lot more freedom in university than there is in anything else you know in your life. That's what I know. People who, like my brother, for example, when he's working now, and he always tells me, he's like, what I miss about university is just that freedom and that flexibility, like you were mentioning, that you can just pick up and leave more or less whenever. If you don't have class, go to your classes. But if you don't have classes, we're not trying to be a bad example here. But yeah, it's that's something that I really appreciate about university is time. Even though I spend a lot of it studying, but still, you know, it's
true, because it, and again, it's the flexibility. Because you know what, you can take, you can go to the gym at non-peak hours.
Literally.
Whereas when you're working, you have to go
when everyone else is going,
or before work, and that's peak times.
Absolutely.
And that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So enjoy it. You know, do activities outside of class, outside of university.
Definitely.
Get involved.
Oh yeah, honestly, clubs. Like, find something you're interested in and go do that, because it helps you meet people, helps you come out of your shell. It, you know, do things that take you out of your comfort zone, as cheesy as it sounds, because it does sound cheesy, but it's true. That's the only way you're actually going to live the experiences you want to live,
and
I guess.
And also, as an HR here speaking.
Oh, okay. She pulled out the title.
I pulled it out. It's an easy way to get experience.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're gonna get into a club, like there's a club that's gonna take you, and it's an easy
someone will take you, right? Someone is always gonna be desperate enough.
Exactly.
Don't worry.
Literally, if any of you are McGill, I am part of 3 clubs. I will help you out. Yes. I panicked because I wanted to meet new people.
And she went,
it's my final year, and I was like, 3 clubs, peer advising, like,
oh,
I'm going crazy.
You're actually, your schedule is crazy right now. Like,
but it's fun. It's a lot of fun. My point here is, it's an easy way to get experience. You can easily... there are a lot of transferable skills from anything, from any job. You can easily transfer some skills. But yes, I think it's an easy way to get experience. And it's also fun. You meet people. It's not a lot of pressure at all. You know, like, no, it's a club at the end of the day.
Exactly.
Like, let's be real. No offense to this club. I don't know.
No, I honestly, like, that's what I always say, you know, when I talk to people and about managing my schedule. I'm like, it's just a club. Like,
exactly.
It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be light. It's not supposed to be something that adds another ton of pressure on you, you know? And if you're
exactly.
Definitely no offense taken.
No, I know.
Yeah,
because actually, like, I have met a few people from...
from ISU?
Yes, exactly.
I just think it's...
they're very nice.
Yeah, everyone's very chill.
Yes, and it's like, you meet people... I mean, I'm repeating myself right now, but yeah, I think...
She just wants you to know that you will meet people through clubs. So if you're looking to meet people, get in a club. Also, if someone decides to make a game out of us saying meet people, they're gone by now.
I swear. Oh, gosh.
Also, I did want to say, that's something I once said, I thought of that at some point when we were talking about how our first semesters we did horrendously.
Yeah.
I wanted to say, just because you're not doing as well as you want to do doesn't mean that you made the wrong decision. Doesn't mean that you should drop out. Doesn't mean any of that. Sometimes it's going to be rough, but that's okay. So persevere. But if you feel like you did make the wrong choice because you're unhappy with what you're doing, by all means, make a change. But if the only reason you think you made a bad choice is because you don't have the best grades, just hold on. It'll get better with time. You'll find your footing, is what I'm trying to say.
Yes, I think if there's anything you should remember, it's that everyone struggles sometimes. Everyone struggles their first year, but you can struggle at any point in your university years, and that doesn't mean anything. I mean, it just means that you might not be doing very, you might not be doing well
academically.
No, but just like even like
your well-being, like mentally.
Exactly. So I mean, and there's nothing to be ashamed of. Everyone goes through rough patches.
Oh yeah, and you know what? Like, even if you're not doing well because you're just not, you know, necessarily an academic person, that's totally fine.
Yeah,
there's no shame in that either. And if you're not doing well, I just want to say this before I forget. If you're not doing well, and you know, you need to go speak to someone, universities usually have resources for that, and you can call, get an appointment. I know that Concordia's health service, I know that they have therapists that are available if you're looking for help. They also have literal doctors if you guys need anything. In case anyone didn't know that, who's listening here?
I think, again, if there's anything you should remember, it's that. You don't need me. But no, I absolutely agree. And I forgot my train of thought, but that's okay.
So sorry.
No, it's fine. Oh, I think as well, it's that, I don't know if that's what I wanted to say, but that's one of the things I wanted to say. Most companies, and I say most, don't actually look at your GPA. I'm saying this because I've been a recruiter, but also if you're not very academic and you're looking for a job that's a lot more manual, again, they're probably gonna ask you to do something, but they're not really genuinely, they're not really gonna look at your GPA. Some do, not gonna lie, some do, but a lot of them don't. And also, I think GPAs are important, I'm not gonna lie, for if you want to do a master's degree, that they do look at
if
that.
If that's something you're looking to pursue, then that's different.
Yes.
If not, then...
then, honestly, there are a lot of options there. You can start at one company and then move somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, there's no... the importance is that you do something that you like. Because when you do something you like, you won't feel like you're working.
100%. I mean, and... you know, even when you do something you like, and I know you agree with this, there are always going to be things you don't like about it.
I agree.
And that's totally normal, but...
something that I told a friend of mine who was struggling with finding a job, I told him, he seemed to not like a lot of aspects of every job he was doing. And I said, you know, there's always going to be aspects of a job that you're not going to like.
Yeah.
It's kind of... can you handle them? You know, it's like there's pros and cons to every single job in the world. There are pros and cons to everything, but can you handle the cons? Like, I love HR. There are cons to HR, but I feel like, you know what? The pros to me outweigh the cons.
Yeah.
The benefits outweigh the costs. And
exactly. Also, to go back to that whole GPA thing, I want to say I was working this summer and the person who was in charge of me, he told me, he's like, listen, I had the worst grades among all my friends. And he was like, but I'm doing the best, you know? And so, like, I'm not here to tell you, don't care about your grades, don't try. I'm just here to tell you that if you're not doing as well as you want to be doing, it's okay. And chances are it doesn't really matter, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
It does not define you
whatsoever. Oh my god, it really doesn't. And I think a lot of people struggle with that. A lot of people think that grades mean...
how smart am I?
Yeah.
No,
and
not
especially
at all.
In like competitive... yes.
Something super...
hand
fun.
Is
no, no,
raised.
No, 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 no.
Yes.
No, what are you going to say?
I was going to say, especially in very competitive fields or universities or whatever, but go for it.
I'm going to say something very mean and funny.
Okay.
But I have
just... yes, go for it.
I have met people who I've met people who have very high GPAs, but their social skills or just anything else, like everyday life, common sense, it's just not there.
Zero.
Just to say, like, it's funny. Obviously, that doesn't mean that if you have a high GPA, that does not mean
what correlation.
There is absolutely no correlation, but I'm just saying that I've met everyone has their skills, their strength. Exactly. Everyone has their strengths.
I got you.
Like, you complete my sentences.
Don't even start.
Yeah. So, that's all I want to say.
Yeah, everyone has different strengths, different weaknesses.
Exactly.
You know what? I was going to say, I have a terrible sense of direction, and I am for sure going to cut this out, because people don't need to know that about me.
It's hilarious, because for years you're like, no, I have a good sense of direction.
Yeah, I spent so long telling myself that I had a good sense of direction. I was trying to speak it into existence, but recently, it really didn't. I just accepted that I'm trash at that, and that people should just not count on me for it. To be fair, though, I never asked anyone to count me for it. Whenever I go out with Lea, she is the Google Maps, because she always knows somehow where we're going, and I'm horrendous.
I know. When you guys did the last podcast about activities to do in Montreal, I had so many urges to say, you have to go on this street there. I had so many urges to, like, give you the location.
Exactly. See, Lea is Google Maps.
I'm Google Maps.
Totally cutting this out later. Moving on.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I think we've lost track of
what we were saying. What were we saying? Talking about strengths, weaknesses.
Yeah, everyone has their strengths, weaknesses. Oh, I wanted to say something super cheesy. Like, so cheesy we know you might have to cut this out, how cheesy this is.
I might. Yeah. We love the cheese, though.
But what makes you unique is what is being yourself.
That was really cheesy.
I know. I'm so sorry.
You should have seen her face when she said it. She was looking at me with those big eyes. She was like... I know, but I truly
believe. I do, because it's true. Like, no one lived the same experiences as you. No one at
100%.
All. The exact same experiences as you. Not even your siblings. No. No one has lived this exact same experiences as you. And so you're unique. Everyone is unique. And I think that's what makes people special. Being authentic. Oh my gosh, this is so cheesy.
It is.
Oh my gosh.
Honestly, I agree with that, though. You know, find what you like. Find what makes you happy, you know, find what makes you want to get out of bed. Like, that's also super cheesy, but, you know, just try to, like, try to figure out what you like, what you want. And even if that's different from what people around you like, people around you want, that's fine. It doesn't mean that you're wrong or that, you know, you're boring or anything. It just means you're different, and that's completely fine. And you'll always have, you know, common things with the people around you.
I agree. And when you know what you want, it's going to make you more motivated and willing to go through the challenges of getting to that.
Definitely.
Because I know right now with classes, you're probably doing a class that you hate, that is probably not related to your major.
Or you hate all of your classes. It's so fine.
And that is fine too. I guess that's fine too. But my advice to that is, if you know that your end goal is what you want, you'll be willing to do these challenges. But also, sometimes, you know, that's, even that is not easy. And my advice is finding value in those things that you're not liking. For example, this is my personal example. I know this might not relate to engineers. Maybe, but I personally did not like financial accounting.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Yeah. Industrial engineering, you do have to take a financial and managerial accounting class. So.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's related. But I didn't like it. And I was dreading going to that class. I was getting bad grades. Actually, that was my first year. So there was a lot of struggles there. But I think that what would have helped and what helped me with other classes I didn't like is to find value in how is this class going to help me in my end goal. Well, I will be able to relate at work as an HR, be able to connect with financial accountants and, you know,
understand
what they're doing and their work they're doing. So I was able to find value in that class. It was a struggle. But, you know, it doesn't matter what value that is, just finding any value that can help it be just a tiny bit more bearable,
yeah,
I think is very useful.
Yeah, I had someone tell me because I was complaining, and she was like, you know what, you need to go to the classes you don't like with the mindset of, like, for example, I'm a businesswoman and I'm going just to learn more about it. And you know what? It does help. There are days where nothing works, and that's okay. But on every other day, that I know that that helps me. I'm just going, I'm like, I've already graduated. I'm here because I want more information. It also takes the pressure off of me,
yeah,
because I don't feel this sense of urgency that I would usually feel, you know?
No, actually, I completely agree.
Yeah.
I sometimes do that.
There we go. Yeah. You know, whatever helps, to be honest.
And it's trial and error, you know?
Sometimes, oh, yeah.
Sometimes it's trial and error. You try something, it does not work, because something can work for someone and the same thing can not work for someone else.
I felt that in my soul. When you said that, I felt it right here in my soul.
She's tapping her soul, her chest.
Say it with your chest.
Say it with your chest.
I feel like this episode has become more like it like this went from how you deal with stress to how you deal with your life. Here's some life unsolicited life advice, which we know everyone loves.
Welcome to your therapy session
with Tamara and Leon.
You're
non-Concordia students.
No, I was gonna
just
say.
Just a reminder.
I was gonna say, like, you're non-certified therapist.
That's way better.
Oh my gosh.
Than mine.
Change the title.
I might just name it Tamara. Uncertified therapist. Yeah, this became a motivational episode. We hope it helps.
Yes.
Maybe you hate us now and you're like,
girls
who think they know a single thing. You wouldn't be wrong to think that.
I mean, who is this McGill student talking to us about life? And, you know, be happy, do what you want. Like,
possibly.
Yeah.
You know what? We won't blame you if you think that.
I agree.
But if someone out there is listening and it did help you just a bit, then I think we're happy with that.
I agree.
And if everyone else hates us, well,
it's fine.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, if that helps you too.
But I encourage you to also, sorry,
Leah,
last point.
Go for
to
it.
To listen. 4 years later, if you're a first-year student, listen to it on your final year.
Oh my god.
Or like even, no, I mean, I know you're probably not going to remember this, but it's okay. Maybe you will, and I encourage you to listen to this again 4 years later and see if your mindset has changed.
That's, yeah.
But even, like, forget this podcast.
Don't try not to.
Oh, and don't forget this podcast. It's amazing. But if you forget to listen to it again 4 years later, that is okay. We will forgive you. However, I do encourage you to look back at your years and see what you've learned, because my final point is,
mm-hmm,
I am a completely different person when I came into university.
That's actually very true.
And I knew
her. I've known you since, you know, we were kids. And
yeah.
That's true. You're a completely different person.
Completely different person. But I think I grew for the better. And I think a lot of people will grow. Not a lot of people. Everyone's going to grow.
It might not be for the better, though. Some of you might turn out to be awful people, but I'm joking.
But no, yeah. So you're going to grow. You're going to learn so much.
Yeah.
Honestly, a lot. I think, yeah, just you're going to learn a lot and you're going to grow.
Honestly, I completely agree with you. I also look back to, well, I'm not in my final year because I switched programs, but I look back to when I was 18,
mm-hmm,
and now, and I would not recognize my 18-year-old self.
Yeah.
She has changed. And honestly, thank God, she was too stressed for her own good.
Yep.
So, yeah, I completely agree with you. Thank you for coming. Unless you have another point you would like to make, which is completely fine. It's not like
No. I think I've made all my points. Thank you so much for having me and for bearing with all my cheesiness.
I honestly loved it. It was great. Thank you so much for coming and for sharing your wise fourth year, final year advice. We always like that here. I hope this episode would, you know, can help someone potentially, and if not, well, it's okay. It gave me an episode to release, so that's so fine. Someone got what they wanted. So yeah, thank you for listening, and good luck with your midterms and with your exams and with your projects and whatever, because I know that we all have them right now.
Yep.
And yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Peace out.